seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I would direct you again to Psalm 107 and verses 1 and 2. Psalm 107 and verses 1 and 2. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107 and verses 1 and 2. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Is it your soul's desire and mine as we gather this afternoon to truly give thanks? Because this is what the Holy Spirit so indicted the heart of the psalmist to write. O give thanks unto the Lord. And then he gives the reasons why. Firstly, for the Lord is good, for he is good. And secondly, for his mercy endureth forever. And then he speaks of who will truly give thanks. And this is what we tried to look at this morning. The dear redeemed of God's dear children. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They can truly say this because they know what it is to have a heart to give thanks to him for so many, many things, don't they? Now I seek the Lord's divine help this afternoon. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. How good the Lord is to his redeemed. He will never leave them nor forsake them. He has promised this. But that doesn't mean to say that you won't come into places where you feel he has forsaken you. And he has left you. You know, often the Lord forsakes his dear children and leaves them maybe for a season because of their sin. You see, sin is so grieving to the God of heaven. And so often, you know, sin soon manifests itself in our hearts, in our lives, and the Lord withdraws for a season. He causes the child of God to walk alone. The hymn writer said, it is decreed that most should walk the darkest paths alone. And the beloved Saviour himself knew what it was when the Father, God the Father, hid his face, when he bore the sins of his dear bride, his redeemed children. And so every one of his followers will know in some measure what it is for the Lord to hide his face and leave them for a season. But though the Lord of life and glory, and it's be very clear, he knew no sin, but when he bore the sins of his people, God the Father forsook him. And that's why he was enabled to pray like David did, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But just to pursue this a little, you may say, as you feel forsaken and forgotten, walking alone, will he ever appear again? Will he ever come to me as in days past? Will we know again the blessings of former days, both in our soul and in the Church of God? Well, there's some sweet promises, isn't there, in God's Word to such souls. And tarrying in Isaiah, what do we read? The Lord said, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. And how many times the Lord sweetly assured the dear psalmist that he would appear, he would turn his captivity, he would cause him once again to sing in the heights of Zion. But when we're in those dark places and lonely places, it's trying to walk out, isn't it? You wonder sometimes how you will endure it. But weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He tarries oft, the hymn writer said, till men are faint, and comes at evening light. But then he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for he is good. And you think how good the Lord is to us. Let us look at this goodness for a few moments. He is good that he's not cut us off as cumbers of the ground. When we think of what we deserve because of our sin, how good the Lord is to us. The psalmist said, he hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We're still here, aren't we, on praying ground. The Lord is good. And he's good that he still upholds his dear people. How is it that we continue unto this day, each of us? Is it not because he upholds us? We need upholding, don't we? And because the Lord is good to his dear redeemed children, he upholds them when they're sinking. You think of Peter when he began to look at the sea and the winds and the waves. He was soon sinking, wasn't he? And so are we, aren't we? There may be things in your heart and pathway today, and we look back over the years and we think of those times we felt we'd sink into despair. But because the Lord is good, what has he done? He's upheld us. Who can hold us up but thou? Do you know what it is for his upholding hand? You think of the case of dear Peter, how the Lord put forth his hand, didn't he, and caught him. He upheld him, he didn't leave him to perish in that sea, did he? The Lord loved Peter. We have in this text, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he has redeemed a love with an everlasting love. And look at the love he shows to Peter. He put forth his hand and caught him, didn't he? Upheld. And you think of dear Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, those 40 years. The times the Lord upheld him, when there was so much to make him sink, wasn't it? And it may be in your heart and in your pathway today, there's this trouble, this affliction, this difficulty, this sin that troubles you, this burden you carry, and you need the Lord to uphold you. Moses did. And he knew what it was to feel the arms of the Lord upholding him. You think of the times they rebelled against the Lord and rebelled against Moses. The grace that was given to Moses to continue, upheld by the mighty hand of God. And it may be in some particular thing you're in today, you need the Lord to uphold you. The Lord is good. Oh, he's good. What did Nahum the prophet say? The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. But then you think of dear Elijah, how the Lord wonderfully upheld him. You think of the times Ahab and Jezebel sought to take away his life. But oh, how the Lord upheld him. And the Philistines and the enemies of the Lord that came against Elijah and David and those divines of old. But how the Lord wonderfully upheld them. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Can you give thanks for his upholding grace? If he didn't uphold us, we would soon sink, and we'd sink into despair. It's a searching place when we feel to be sinking. And there's much to make the child of God sink and the Lord's servants to sink in these solemn days. But the Lord has still his upholding hand to uphold the child of God, to hold them up and to hold them on. And then think of the sweet promises the Lord has given in his word, upholding promises. You think of dear Joshua. How was he to lead the children of Israel after the death of Moses? What did the Lord say to him? A word that was to uphold him, not just that day, for the rest of his life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And some of us can look back to how the Lord was with our godly parents and grandparents, and he upheld them. And you know, it's a wonderful word, as I was with Moses, as he has been with those dear souls, so will he be with thee. And you know, that word was to carry dear Joshua right the way through into the promised land. And other sweet promises. The courage the Lord was to give him. The Lord was so good to Joshua and giving him that not only natural courage, may we not just rest on that, but that courage of faith. Faith in gracious exercise. And the courage the Lord gave him. And the promise too that the Lord would never leave him or forsake them. And he won't, his dear people, will he? Why? Because he's redeemed them. They're his. And he will be with them when everything else fails around them. Oh, yes. And then we can look at it in this way. I give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He's been with me, so I will name it. You think of the Blessed Trinity. You see, when the psalmist said, "O give thanks unto the Lord," he was not just referring to God the Father. He was referring to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And look how good God the Father was in giving his beloved Son. We read, don't we? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, it seemed very sweet to me, thinking of the Blessed Trinity. The Lord is good. Our text says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." There was no doubt in the heart of the psalmist about this. And can we not say it from an honest heart this afternoon? The Lord is good. Why? Because he proved it. And you think, as he looks at God the Father, how he gave his beloved Son, how good he was to give his beloved Son to come into this world to suffer, to bleed and die. And then you look how good the precious Son of God was in coming. Look at the willingness, first of all. What does he say? "Here am I, send me." No other would do. But the precious Son of God must leave the realms of bliss and of glory and come into this world and take upon himself human flesh with feelings just like you and just like me. Verily man, yet verily God. And how good he was to suffer, to bear all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. He knew his weakness, that sinners may be made strong. And he knows your weakness, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because in all points he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, how good the precious Son of God was in healing the sick, healing the blind, restoring their sight. The Lord is good. And look how he set his people free from all the onslaughts of Satan. Look how good the dear Son of God was, the Lord Jesus, in casting out the devils from Legion. And not only Legion, but Mary Magdalene. And he cast the devils out. How good he was to the Muslim. Do you know what it is when the Lord has been good and he's cast the devils out of you and out of me? Maybe one saying, "Well, there's not any devils in me." Well, you don't know your own heart, poor soul. There are many devils in us, but the Lord can cast them out. And he did with Legion, didn't he? And so he did with Mary Magdalene. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good in casting out devils. And he is good in setting free his dear people from the bondage of sin and the bondage of Satan," as we tried to look at this morning. "Who hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. But then the Lord is good. How he laid down his precious life, the dear Saviour. You think of the times, I've often thought about it, you know, the times when they tried to take away his life. The Pharisees did. The enemies of Christ did. The soldiers did. We could list the whole catalogue. But what did he do? He was to lay it down. When he brought out that wondrous robe of righteousness for his dear people, when he had satisfied a holy God, fulfilled all the demands of God's law, and he lays down that precious knife. Did he not say, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again? How good is the dear Lord Jesus to sinners. The old Mr. Gurney used to say at Ashwell, the Lord is good to all men. You've only got to look around today how good the Lord is to all men. The sunshine on this beautiful Sabbath day. The evil see it. They go on in their sin. The child of God sees it. But they see it as a gift from heaven. He's all good to some. But then the dear man went further. He's good to all men, but he's all good to some. He's all good to these redeemed. Oh, he is. There was none to be compared to him, to the spouse. What is my beloved, she said, compared with another beloved? My beloved is the chiefest among 10,000. And the altogether lovely. Peter knew it when he said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And then think how wonderfully he rose on that resurrection morn. Oh, the goodness of God, raising his beloved son. Think of those sweet words of the angels when the disciples and the dear women went to the sepulchre. He is not here, he is risen. It was music to their ears, wasn't it? Do you know what it is for the Lord to speak that to you? He is not here. He is risen. You know, Mr. Fred Brooks at Braeburn, I was remembering, I've told you before, him saying to me that this particular Easter Sunday morning, he said, I went to the house of God in such darkness and sorrow and weeping. He said, everything in my soul seemed upside down. I wonder where I was in the way at all. And he said, the dear servant of God announced his text. He is not here. He is risen. And the Lord so applied it to the dear man. All the sorrow, all the darkness, all the bondage, all the sin that weighed him down was gone. Oh, the blessing he never forgot. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he He is good. Look at the certainty here. He is good. There was no doubt in the psalmist's heart, was there? He is good. And then he's good because he speaks to his dear people. And you look how the dear Saviour spoke after the resurrection to Mary Magdalene, to the dear disciples. Words that their hearts would never forget. Never forget. Have we got a word that the Lord has spoken to us we should never forget? And when he speaks it, a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, a word to disperse all your fears. And what does your poor heart say as he speaks it? Knows the sweet effect of it. The Lord is good. He is good. And you know something of that goodness because it flows through what he speaks to you. Been with me much since yesterday, you know. It was a day really of looking back. But, you know, we don't want to just look back. We want to look forward. And I often think of like of birthdays or anniversary occasions or the close of the year or the beginning of the year. It's a time of looking back, but it's a time of looking forward. There may be those of you who could look back like the psalmist did. And you go into that beautiful 23rd Psalm. He could look back and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And as he looked forward, he could say it, couldn't he? But what was particularly with me was that last verse where he says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Can you not but look back today? How good the Lord has been, how goodness has followed you. The goodness of God. He's followed you. But what about the future? He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There was a looking forward, you see. Not only that, as he'd come, or the way he'd come, but the way he was to go. And we think of that beautiful promise the Lord gave to dear Moses. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. The hymn writer said, in the way, I will make it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness that has followed you. And oh, give thanks unto the Lord for the goodness that he has set before you. The sweet prospect of heaven, you see. Your late beloved pastor used to often say, if we haven't got a prospect to our religion, we haven't got much religion. There's a sweet prospect. Mr. Lewis used to often quote that verse, my soul anticipates the day, would mount up on wings and fly away to joys beyond the skies. He wanted to enter into the fullness of this goodness, you see. Oh, he did. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And then think of the blessed Holy Spirit. How good God the Holy Spirit is in quickening sinners into life. You and I would never know anything of the goodness of God if he hadn't quickened us, would we? Think of the Ephesians, what the apostle was enabled to say to them, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, they'd been strangers and foreigners, hadn't they? They'd been aliens, but no longer were they. They were fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The Lord is good. His blessed Holy Spirit quickens sinners into life. The Holy Spirit is good in revealing a precious Jesus to sinners. Think of the hymn I often quote, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Oh, how good he is when you can see, as you read the Holy Word, or as it is preached, a precious Jesus in it all. You know, the Word of God is full of Christ. I speak that with much reverence. Oh, it is. From beginning to end. The old preachers used to say, if you go into the book of Genesis, there's that blessed record all the way through to Malachi of his glorious coming. And then in the New Testament, it is full of Christ. It speaks so well of him. Oh, it does. And when the Holy Spirit shines upon the sacred page, it's very precious to the child of God. They read it and there's food in it, there's nourishment, there's everything their soul needs. For he is good. And what he does is good, you see. Really, if I may just pause a moment before I go further with the Holy Spirit. You know, this is a wonderful word, really, for he is good. It declares the whole nature and character of God himself. He's good. And what he does is good. Oh, it is. Will it be in the sinner's life? Will it be in their pathway? Whether it be in the things of providence? Whether it be, as you look back in creation, God saw that it was good. You go to some of these beautiful gardens and see the handiwork of the Lord in the flowers and the perfection there is in them. And how they grow. I've often looked at them, and I remember speaking of it here in the Sunday school once. You look at a begonia corm. If you look at that corm, there looks no goodness in it at all, does it? You plant it in Mother Earth, and that grows there, the leaves, and then the flowers begin to come forth. And you look at the beauty there is in some of those. It all comes out of that, the handiwork of the Lord in creation. And look at the wonders of the places as we look back yesterday, a few of the places we've been in the earth, and the wonders in Australia, the wonders in the United States, the wonders in England and the wonders in Canada, and we could name many countries. How good the Lord is in granting such beauty and blessedness, even in the things of nature. And all to see the handiwork of God, you see. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. But just to go back to the blessed Holy Spirit, you see, it's he that applies the word to us. He takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto sinners. You know, you never see, and nor would I, any beauty. And this is why the world don't see any beauty in the Word of God, or any beauty in the worship of God. Because the Holy Spirit has never revealed to them the realities there are in it, the preciousness there is in it, ever revealed a precious Christ to them in it. The hymn writer said, "The wandering world desires to know why I should love my Jesus so. They inquire why." I've had people say to me, "Why do you go to chapel? Why do you preach? Is it not to the glory of God and something for our souls? For time and for eternity? We want to feed upon the Word." And you know what it is when the Holy Spirit so makes the Word precious to you that you can feed on it. Oh, you can feed on it. Jeremiah knew it, didn't he, when he said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." It's not only what is preached, like maybe this afternoon, but may the Holy Spirit be food to you for the coming week. And you can give thanks that the Lord has kept the Word alive in your soul, and you've been able to feed upon it. It may be for several days where you can think of the case of dear Elijah, when he went in the strength of the meat for 40 days and 40 nights. That's how real it was. You, Mr. Leonard Broom, used to say, when a woman came to him and said to him what a wonderful hearing she'd had. And the dear man, he said, "You go home and come back and see me on Thursday and tell me how much is left." You see, if that was real, it would live in her. We know we cannot keep it alive ourselves, and we cannot retain it. But the point with the dear man was this, to prove how real it had been. Have there not been a few times where we've gone to the house of God on the Sabbath day, and the Word, we've lived in the Word all the week? And it's the Word has lived in us. Then you can truly give thanks, can't you? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And the blessed Holy Spirit, you see, another blessed aspect of this. How good the Holy Spirit is in conveying the blessings down. And conveying comfort down into the hearts of the child of God in their sorrow. When Jesus spoke those words to the dear disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless." Oh, how the Word was so applied to them. "I will come to you." And they would approve it. "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." And they were to sweetly prove it, weren't they? The Word was to live in them, and they lived in the Word. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For He is good. And then you think back in Providence. I was thinking only yesterday, you know, and how good the Lord has been to us over the years, supplying our every need. Do we not prove what the hymn writer said? "My every need He richly will supply, nor will His mercy ever let me die." How good He's been. He just opens His hand to the child of God to supply their need, you see. Oh, he does. And David could look back in his life, couldn't he, many times and say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We read it, didn't we, so much in the Psalms this afternoon. The goodness of the Lord to his dear people. The Lord is good. And oh, to give thanks now, as I said in conclusion this morning, we need a heart to truly thank him. Oh, we do. It's easy to say, you know, we're thankful, but really, the reality of it be known in our hearts. And I tell you what, if I know anything about this at all, you know when you're truly thankful, you'll melt your heart in thanksgiving. It won't be just words. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, may that be so applied to us this afternoon. For he is good. When the Lord dropped it in early Friday morning, it seemed really to melt my heart, really. To think of the goodness of God. A poor unworthy sinner. You see, it's personal. And you'll want to personally feel it. Now, may this be of comfort to you for the days to come. We often get tried. We look back and we can see the goodness of the Lord, how he's brought us thus far. It's like the hymn writer said, brought safely by his hand thus far. Why dost thou now give place to fear? He that hath helped thee hitherto, he doesn't leave it there, does he? Will help thee all thy journey through. And you think how good the Lord is in helping his dear people. In providence, in their daily calling, in their souls, in the divine blessings of God. His help. Well could the apostle say, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And without it, poor soul, you couldn't continue, nor could I. And the apostle certainly knew he couldn't. But just a brief word before we leave it this afternoon on the second part of this. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Now, there's much further could be said on that. For his mercy endureth forever. His mercy. There's your hope, poor soul, there's mine. Where would we be if his mercy didn't endure forever? You think of the Psalm 136, you can read it again at your leisure. Oh, every verse of all what the Lord did for those dear children of Israel. And go back even further than them, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. I thought when earlier brother read that, you know, this afternoon, that wasn't just vain repetition. The Lord has left that on record for the good and help and encouragement of his dear people. Oh, it was. It's repeated all those times, but that wasn't repetition. It was reality. Oh, it is. His mercy. There's your hope for today. There's the hope for the days to come, that his mercy endureth forever. If it didn't endure forever, there'd be no hope for us. The Lord is the same, you say. Yesterday, today and forever. Did he not say, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now if the Lord had changed, they'd have been consumed. The mercy was he didn't. And his mercy toward them didn't change. And his mercy toward his dear people doesn't change. It endures. Not just for time. Notice the wording. Forever. Oh, it does. Forever. Those that have tasted his mercy here, the hymn writer said, mercy that is transportingly sweet, will enjoy the fullness of his mercy in glory. Forever. And sing the song of Moses and the Lamb for all eternity. Well, I've scratched around the surface of the word. May the Holy Spirit give us that heart to truly love and praise his name. The Lord is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.